Good morning, family. I heard one voice. Good morning, family. It is a day to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in our worship today. You know, we've been talking about becoming more aware of and more sensitive to the Spirit's voice in our lives and the experiences that we go through on a daily, weekly basis. And of course, you know, as I've studied and as I've been preparing each week, I've tried to practice that every single day. I can't say I have a perfect record, but it's becoming more obvious to me in the ways that God does speak to us. I was at a friend's house, and he was having like a yard sale. Everybody loves a yard sale, right? The only thing I learned is that you have to be there at 5 o'clock if you want the good stuff. But anyway, he had a really nice pair of binoculars, and my grandson he likes to go out and look at birds and stuff like that up in Washington State. And so he had a nice pair of the Tasco, is a fairly good brand. And so I picked up the pair of binoculars, and I was looking through them, and I was looking across the street, and there was a bird, or I think it was a crow, up on the top of a tree. And so I was trying to focus, and I couldn't get it into focus, and I kept working that thing, you know, and adjusting the eyepiece and then everything. And I could never get it into focus. And I said, you know, Jim, these binoculars are no good. He goes, well, let me see them. I was using them not that long ago. What'd you do, break them? You know how friends are. So he picks it up, and he's looking there, and he's turning it, could not get any focus out of it. I said, well, there must be something inside. Either one of the lenses is loose or one of the mirrors or whatever. So I put it back down, and immediately a thought came into my mind. You know, that is how it is with our relationship with God and the world that we live in. You know, God gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His Word. He gives us His revelation, and we live in a world, obviously, that is not necessarily connected or in tune with God's will, and we're always trying to focus, and somehow it doesn't always go into focus. And it's because it's not necessarily because that we're not, you know, Christians or we're not connected to God. It's because maybe we don't take the time. And so I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be looking for things. I'm going to be looking for events in my life throughout the day where you are trying to say something to me. And this conversation I had with my friend was yesterday. And so this morning I jumped in my car and I'm there. I have a loaner. Subaru took my car away from me because it has go through some kind of a recall situation. I don't know what it is. But anyways, so they gave me a nice new one, really nice. The only thing is, I'm not a gadget person. This thing is full of gadgets. I mean, everything under the sun. It even has a little light here that tells you if there's a car coming up on your left or on your right. I mean, everything. It's got buttons all. The steering wheel has tons of buttons, and half of them I don't even know what they are. So I'm just driving it like I normally would, not touching any of the buttons. And I'm trying to make my way, and I'm coming onto the freeway there at Temecula. I'm coming onto the freeway, and everybody's driving pretty fast, so I'm accelerating and getting up to about 80 miles an hour, because that's how fast they go through there. And all of a sudden, I happen to see some birds flying off to the left of the freeway, just as we're going up over the hill there. And I looked over there, and I glanced, and I thought, oh, those are weird-looking birds. And I had to look again. And they were huge. They were huge. And I go, those aren't vultures. They're flying around in circles, and they're doing a little dance-type thing, and they're flying in a big circle, and there's about a dozen of them. And I'm thinking, you know what? Those wingspans look at least 6 to 8 feet. They are huge birds, and the wings were different than a vulture's wings. And I thought, okay, so what is that I'm looking at? And I got to thinking about that. And the beauty, these birds, they seemed to be doing, they were not doing the usual circling around a carcass type thing. They were actually interacting with each other and kind of like crows do sometimes. And they were flying in the circle, but they were kind of interacting. I thought, maybe they're migrating. So when I got here to the church, I asked Marty, he said, Marty, do we have condors? I've never seen a condor other than pictures. And he said, well, yeah, up in the Sierras, and there's some maybe down, you know, in Baja, places like that. I don't know, but when I get home, I am going to find out what those were. But that's not the point. The point is that at that exact moment, as I looked at those beautiful birds doing their thing out there, flying around, so big and majestic and beautiful, I began to think, wow, God created those beautiful birds. He created those birds. And then as I sat there, as I was driving along, I began to think of, you know, in my heart, I began to you know, just kind of quote passages of Scripture. And I began to realize that that was one of God's ways of illuminating something around me and bringing it to my attention. The glory of God. Wow. In Psalms, if you want to look in your Bibles, we're going to take a look at a couple of passages. But if you look in Psalms 19, some of you may even know this one by heart. But it's, you know, David was a man who was constantly in touch with and trying to connect with God and his spirit. So in Psalms, the 19th chapter, we have here a beautiful psalm. And it begins in verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from it, its heat. And I went, thank you, Jesus, for opening my mind and my heart this morning. I was so engrossed in this new car that I was trying to learn to drive. And the traffic, and it was a lot of traffic this morning. And God just took my mind away from all of that and showed me that he is a great and mighty God, a God that is worthy of praise, a God that created this world, such a beautiful world that we live in. And we can truly say that. It's easy to be caught up in the negative aspects of what's happening to the world and the climate around us, but what about the positive things? What about praising God for what he has given, and not only what he has given, but what he is continuing to sustain for us? And I'm thankful of that. He just gave me a quick... Now, remember, we talked about the three windows or three rooms, you might call them, that ways that God communicates and speaks to us. The first one is what? Illuminating. He illuminates, or he shines a light on something. This morning, he shone the lights on these beautiful birds. Massive wingspan. I mean, they were close to the freeway, and they were coming swooping down, and they had huge wings. It's bugging the daylights out of me until I find out whether they were actually condors or not. But he shines the light on something each day and says to us, hi, I'm here. I'm going to do something. And we're a small enough group. We all pretty much, I think we know each other. Those of you that are guests are part of the family. What has God said to you this week? Let's start with this week. Anything? Speak up. Just say it. Stand up and say it. Share it with whoever. Matthew.
I have attended every week in my biology class. I was reviewing briefly before I mentioned the ticket because it's not open out or anything. And as I'm, you know, hastily studying and looking for the right page to read, I felt this. I heard this voice in my head that said, just don't worry about it. And I kept studying, and the more I studied, the more convicted I felt for ignoring the voice. So eventually I just put it down. I put the book down and I prayed and I said, okay, you know, I trust you. And so I prayed for the next couple of minutes before the test started. And as soon as it came to me, it was everything was so easy, the easiest test I ever had in my life. The thing I wasn't studying and just like being so stressed out and worried this whole time because I would have been so ashamed if I was, patiently trying to prepare myself and then I came here. And I ignored this voice and said, don't worry about it, but it turns out I was worried for nothing. I was really happy that God, even though I wrestled with him, convicted me enough to the point where I listened and trusted him, and he came through for me.
Amen. Okay. I remember those days, too, overstudy. And you get so paranoid, you're frozen. Anybody else? What have you seen in the last week where God actually said something or spoke to you? And we're not necessarily talking about an audible voice. We're talking about just an impression or something when you saw it, you said, there's God. He's saying something to me. Something in nature or something that someone else may have said. Anybody? Should want to share something? Yes.
He just let me know to commit all things in my life to him. Don't worry about anything. Always rely on him in everything that you go through. And everything. Don't have any kind of worry or anything like that. Set your mind on him and let him take control, and mm-hmm. he will make things right.
Okay. Commit everything to God, even the difficult times. And Marty's carrying a mic around, so now we can use that. Anybody else have something they want to share with us? Some event maybe took place this week? Or even this month, I don't care. Anybody? Yes, right here, Marty. He'll give you a mic a second.
I live in Imperial Beach, and I like walking to the Bay Area because it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But when I walk to get there, I have to go to several streets that sometimes have been very scary because, I don't know, there's a lot of people that are coming in and the churches are helping relocating there. And I got bitten by a dog. Well, it's a long story, but when I get to the Bay, it's so beautiful. You see all those birds flying all over and you see, if it just rained, you see the rainbow mm-hmm. and the clouds, and then I start crying because I think God is talking to me and is blessing me, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is with me. So I keep going through those streets just to get the spot where I feel blessed.
Beautiful. See, there's a beautiful example of even sometimes in spite of the fear or in spite of the conditions around us, God will reveal. He'll shine a light on something that will inspire. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so the second frame or window that we look through is inspiration, right? Now, when something is illuminated, when something is revealed to you and it's illuminated by God's Spirit, it's sometimes a fleeting thought, and we might forget it in a few minutes, or something else will come up. But it's there to remind us that God is with us. It's there. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through something in our lives that says, I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember, Jesus promised that. But when it gets to the second one, which was, do you remember? Inspiration. Inspiration then means that I didn't just see those birds flying, those big, huge, whatever they were, condors. I'm going to say they were condors. They were so huge. Then I had to absorb that experience. And I had to do what? Make a choice. Okay? It inspired me. I'm still thinking about it. So it really got me going. It inspired me. It inspired me then to begin to speak truth, to speak God's word in my heart. David's Psalms, different texts that I know in the Bible. Okay? So I'm inspired. And had I not been driving, I might have sat down and maybe written a little tune or something, or maybe like Lexi, write a poem. Okay? You're at a point now where the Spirit is, you've gone from just the event, the illumination, you've gone on to inspiration. At that point, the Holy Spirit is still present, is still working, but it's moved you closer to a closer relationship. Now, ultimately, the final goal of this whole process is that Christ becomes part, Christ is in us and we are in Him. Do you see? We're no longer in the world. Theme Paul repeats over and over and over in his writings. Christ in me. You see? And the Spirit is moving us closer to that ultimate relationship. And so at the point of inspiration, we then begin to make choices. Because it's not just a fleeting thought. It's not just a visual image. It has now come into our heart, into our minds. It's gone past the frontal lobes into the ganglia, where now I'm having to make a choice. Was that event that I saw today something that God revealed to me? Or was it just a happenstance that a bunch of condors were flying around? Was that God revealing? And if God speaks to me, then what is my response? You see? People say, oh, I want God to speak to me. Why doesn't He talk to me? Be still and know that I am God. Right? Because we're always yap, 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 yap. Yak, 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 yak. Yak, yak, yak. Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. We're always doing something else. I really wanted to stop. I really wanted to slam on the brakes, pull over to the right. Would have created an accident. And I wanted to sit there. I wanted to really stand there and walk. I wish I had bought binoculars so I could sit there and look at those birds. I wanted it to become a deeper experience. In fact, on my way home this afternoon, I want to stop and I'm going to ask some other people along the way. Were there some birds out here, or was I just seeing things? Now it's really going to freak me out if they say, "What are you talking about? Condors never come around here." You, dude, what were you on? Well, I was driving my car. Well, you shouldn't have been driving your car. Don't drive buzz. Isn't that what it says on the freeway sign? Okay, so when I get to the second level, the second window that I look through, or the second compartment of establishing this close relationship with Christ, it's no longer just an event. It needs to become something ingrained in my heart, in my mind. I have to make a choice. What does the Bible say? Even the demons believe. Okay, that's number one. I believe I saw birds. Okay, I think I saw condors, but I saw birds, beautiful birds. And that helped me move in my heart from being distracted by the freeway and all the stuff going on around me and the stress in the world that I live in, to lifting me up to a higher plateau, a higher plane of awareness of who God is and what God does for me on a daily basis. Connecting with God. Leading me into praise and singing and worship Him while I'm driving the car, yes? Okay? Thanking Him for His blessings. In that second phase of the relationship, the Holy Spirit then moves me and inspires me to respond. And that moves me then to the third phase. The third phase is is revelation. Now, revelation, of course, you know, the Bible is full of messages that God revealed to His men and His women, to His prophets, to His leaders, to His friends, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to His leaders, Moses, Joseph, others. The Bible is full of men and women who learned to wait upon the Lord, to be still and know that He is God, to glorify Him, to praise Him, to acknowledge His existence, to listen and hear and have spiritual eyesight and ears, and to sit and wait upon the Lord to reveal Himself in all of His glory. I believe that that third phase, that third level, that third window, that whatever you want to call it, of revelation is why we come here. The older I get, the more I realize that we take this thing of worship in church far too flippant. We're far too casual about it. Now, I grew up in several different countries. And my first 12 years were in Korea. And I can tell you something that I still look back on and I still can appreciate. And that is, at least when I was a kid growing up, 1950s and on, whenever they came into church, they would stop at the back and they would bow their head in reverence. And sometimes they would come down to one of the pew where they're going to sit, and then they would kneel there. Or they would sit down and they would bow their head and pray, showing their reverence, showing their respect, showing their love to God, uplifting Him and praising Him. And I like that. I like it. And I can tell you in other countries I've experienced other experiences. I came to America, and in America they told me there's only one way to worship God. I had a hard time adapting myself, and you can tell I haven't adapted very well. But, you know, there are things that we culturally establish as norms, and anything that's aside from that then becomes abnormal or strange or odd or whatever you want to call it. But when it comes to acknowledging, to receiving God, His Word, when it comes to being inspired by His Word and by worship, then the response to that should be to glorify Him. Okay? Now, a lot of that has to do with, I've asked this question before, and I'll ask it again. We should just put a big sign out in the lobby. It says, "What did you bring?" What did you bring this morning? What did you bring? What did you bring to offer God this morning? I'm not talking about, you know, this paper, this stuff. What did you bring from your heart? All right? Did you bring a basket full of expectations? Did you bring a basket full of requests? Did you bring a basket full of traditions? What did you bring this morning? Or did you just come and did you offer Him your heart? Because that's really what God wants. If you go in the Scriptures, and the Old Testament especially, God is constantly telling the children of Israel, "I don't want your offerings. I don't want your gifts. I want your heart." Your heart is what God wants. He's always telling the children of Israel, "Your heart's like stone. Turn your hearts unto the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Give Him your heart. Sacrifice of your heart." So often, though, it's the brain that gets in the way of the heart, isn't it? So often our minds are so occupied and we're off chasing the devil's dogs. You know, we're running here and running there, and we have other things that are more important, and we chase them all week long, and then we come up on Sabbath and we're exhausted. We can barely sit, you know, we can barely make it to church, and we sit down and we're exhausted, and we want a huge overdose of God. If you haven't talked to Him all week, you're not going to be able to fill yourself with Him, enough of Him, to make up for that. Isn't that right? Don't you think so? We need daily to enter into that relationship, into that experience. That's why I like when Paul in Philippians chapter 4, the passage of Scripture we read this morning. Let's take a look at that for a moment here. One of the shorter books that Paul wrote, letters. These weren't books, these were letters, okay? And as I've said before, don't forget, There was no punctuation. That was put in later. Chapters, that was put in later. These are letters. How many of you have chapters in the letters you write to each other? Okay, babe, this is chapter 24, you know, and I got another 50 to go. So, no. This is Paul simply writing a letter to his friends, to his church family. He says to rejoice in the Lord sometimes, only when things are good. Always. Does that mean anything? In the Greek, it literally means linear. It means ongoing, never ending. Okay? So it's always. Always. And if you come along the freeway and you come alongside me, you'll think I'm either crazy or I'm talking to myself because nobody's sitting next to me and I'm not on the phone. So, yeah. I talk to the Lord out loud sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say, in other words, he's doing it. He's saying it twice now. I will say again to what? Rejoice. Let not your gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, don't just save your good Christian goodness or personality or whatever just for the saints. Let it be evident to all. Everybody, people you work with, people you associate with, people you get to know on the street. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And why? The Lord is near. Okay, there we go. If you take nothing else from this passage, that one little phrase there, the Lord is near. Now, some people will translate that, or they'll say, well, he's near. Yeah, we know he's coming. Okay? My family's been talking about it for four generations, ever since 1840. The Lord is coming. The Lord is near. I asked my grandpa, and he was almost 90 years old. I said, Grandpa, when's the Lord coming? You've been, you know, he was raised in Maine, right there in the center, the epicenter of the Advent movement. His parents were some of the earliest Adventists. All right, so when's God coming? When's Jesus going to come in the clouds of heaven? And he looked at me, today. That's what he said. Today. You see, the concept of the coming of the Lord. There's two phases. The first phase is the kingdom is already here. Jesus said that. The kingdom is here. It's in your midst. It's in your heart. Wake up. Hello. He's here. Through the Holy Spirit, he's here. This is the kingdom. These are your friends. These are your neighbors in the kingdom, okay? When he comes, he's coming to end sin, death, evil. That's the second phase. Okay? The first phase is, though, the kingdom is here. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I don't suppose anybody's anxious. Huh? Most of you probably don't watch the news, so you don't have anything to be anxious about, right? No big deal. Just don't watch the news. Okay? Nothing to be anxious about. Your 401k will be bottomed out in a few weeks. No, just kidding. I got one. That's scary. Anyways, but here's the thing. Don't be anxious about anything. It doesn't say be anxious about some things. Don't be anxious about anything. How many of you are good at that? Anybody here? Oh, okay. We have some. I'm sorry. I'm Dutch, Scotch, Irish. I worry about everything. It's in my DNA. I thought it was just me. Then I started watching my grandmother, and I realized that she had it. And then my dad, and I realized he had it. And I thought, okay, I've got to end it, my generation. Okay, I got to learn to do this, and so that I can help my sons. And I got a son that's got it too, and I sure hope it stops with him. So I got two grandsons now. Grandma called me a worrywart. Okay? You worry. Okay? My wife, she puts her head on the pillow. She's gone. Me? I'm up till midnight worrying. Okay, so when God, when it says here, when Paul says to not worry, don't be anxious about anything, it's something that I'm going to have to learn to take from window number one or room number one to room number two. And how am I going to do that? Well, first of all, by turning to God's word that strengthens me and encourages me and gives me wisdom and uplifts me, and then acting on it. I have to consciously tell myself, really, dude, staying up till 1 o'clock is going to make you feel better tomorrow about how you're feeling right now? No, it's not. So get yourself in bed. Stop worrying. Don't be anxious. All right? Oh, by the way, anxiety is not a sin. I was told that at one time. I'm human, I fail, and I need the Spirit to calm me, to give me peace. So I need to lay it in God's hands. But in everything, by prayer and petition, okay? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So if you're anxious, if you're worried, if you're all upset, all uptight about one situation in your life, or two, or three, or maybe you just feel totally flooded by anxiety, what do? Pray. Petition the Lord. And I like the third. What's the third one? Thanksgiving. Now, wait a minute. How can I be thankful that my 401k is being decimated? How can I be thankful about that? What am I going to do with that? My car broke down on the side of the road. What am I going to do about that? What am I going to... You know what? If the Bible says that, you know, if we will pray, if we will be thankful, if we will glorify God, that the windows of heaven are going to open, okay, and we're going to receive a blessing we can't even hang on to, then that's a fact, okay? If God said it, there's an old song we used to sing, if God said it, I believe it. I think it was Bill Gaither wrote that. God said it, I believe it. So now we're in the second compartment of, and that is where our faith grows, in that second compartment. By choosing to not be anxious, by choosing to depend upon the Lord, by realizing that God will always provide what we need, not what we want, but what we need, then our faith grows. Do you see that? And when our faith grows, we can be thankful. We can glorify. We can praise God. Do you see the faith? You move. That's how you're going to grow spiritually. That's how you're going to get closer to the Lord, is by realizing that, yes, we're going to be hit with things throughout our lives. There are going to be events that will just decimate us. But if we choose then to move into the faith realm, when we choose to have faith in God, that moves us into the praise realm, into the realm of being thankful, even when things are nasty or not going the way we want them to go. Do you get it? And the Holy Spirit works in every single phase of our life. From the believing to the revealing. From the beginning to the end. He works in our lives. Okay, so let's look at Psalms 57:5. I'll throw a couple of these in. I'm almost done here. I got more than I need this morning, so we have to save some of this for next week. Psalms 57, verse 5. I have to get one of those digital Bibles. You can turn the pages a lot faster. Psalms 57, 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Not just part of the earth, but all the earth. Be exalted, O God. I think we sing a song that has those words in it. Be exalted. Praise Him. Learn to be thankful. Psalms 102. We're going to look at these real quick because I want you to go away with some of these beautiful, beautiful words from David, songs, poems and songs. Psalms 102, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the beginning, you laid the foundation. Your hands, God. Your hand sustains this earth. Your hand created the universe. Your hand is still creating the universes. It's still creating universes so far away that the light of the creation of those universes haven't hit us yet. They haven't hit Hubble. It goes on and on and on and on. The expanse of God's universe is so massive and so huge that we will never, ever be able to see all of it. We'll spend eternity looking at what God has done. Psalms 108, real quick, over to Psalms 108. Another one. Psalms 108, verse 4. For great is your love. Listen to this. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Now, how do you look at that passage? Do you look at it as just words? Part of David's psalm that he wrote? Or do you move into the second phase there, where it comes into your heart, it pierces your heart, and you say, yes, Lord, thank you. I believe. I not only believe, but I'm going to act on what I believe by faith. I know that you will do what you've promised you will do. By faith, I believe. And guess what happens when you reach that level? You're into the area where the Holy Spirit reveals more than you can handle, more than you can take, and your heart is filled with joy, and you worship and glorify God. Psalms 148, the last one here. Psalms 148, beginning with, there's a couple here, but I'm going to stop with just this one. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Can you say that? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, not bad. What time is it? Oh, you're getting hungry now. Okay, so praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord what? An old song. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it says a new song. Okay. His praise is in the assembly of the saints. Right here, folks. This is where it is. It's not somewhere else. It's here. His praise is in the assembly. That's what we're here for. We're here to praise God. We're here to glorify Him. We're here to uplift Him. We're here to extol His greatness. To worship. We're here to fellowship. We're here to listen to His word. We're here to lift our hearts. To lift our hearts up in thanksgiving to God. Father, we're so thankful that You ultimately know us. You've made a way for us. You've shown us the way through Your word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. We long to be in that relationship, that close relationship. We long to hear You speak to us in so many different ways, in the beauty of the world around us, in the relationships we have with each other, through the word of God. We long for the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing. So take us, Lord, this week and every day and whenever necessary. Just show us something that will encourage and strengthen and empower us. We pray in Your name. Amen.